In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Christmas really is a time when we appreciate the light. For most people, one of the highlights of the season is putting up the Christmas lights. They start off on the tree, don't they? And then maybe they extend around the fireplace. And then they're on the window. And then some people, they move outside. They're in the bushes, in the garden, lighting up everything. And some people even have light up Christmas jumpers. I'll notice one person came in with one today. There we are. There's a light up Christmas jumper down here in the corner of the room. We enjoy light at Christmas, don't we? But does anyone have any neighbours who have gone a little bit over the top this year? Maybe one or two? Yes. Yeah, I think this year people are really putting extra lights up because we're all so down and gloomy. Does anyone want to admit to going over the top themselves? Oh, yeah, there were a couple of hands up over there. I could just see you in the darkness. Yeah, see, all I can see is a spotlight. Christmas has always been associated with light. And when we look at the pages of history, we can quickly realize that this is the case. Because Christmas is at this time of year. This is the time of year that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because we know that Jesus is the light of the world. And that's why December the 25th was chosen as the date to celebrate Jesus' birth. Now, I know that most of you, hopefully all of you, are aware that Jesus almost certainly wasn't born on the 25th of December. And we can work this out from the pages of Scripture, so that's not just me throwing something out there. And I think there's two things in the Bible which tell us that Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. Because first of all, in the land of Judah, believe it or not, it does get quite cold in the winter. And that means that shepherds don't sleep out with the sheep in December. They have them in their homes. So the fact that the shepherds were out on the hills, that suggests that it was summer. And I think many of us are quite aware of that strand of evidence. But another one's occurred to me recently as I was reading the book of Acts. And if you remember the book of Acts, Paul was being taken to Rome. And then there was that problem that they were running out of time and they wanted to stop traveling because the ships didn't travel in the winter, but they kept going and then Paul was shipwrecked. But if there was no real long distance travel in the winter in the Roman world, why would a census be set up in the winter when everyone had to travel back to their hometown? We can see from the pages of Scripture that Jesus was almost certainly born in the spring or the summer months. So why was December the 25th chosen to celebrate Christ's birth? Well, the answer is linked to that theological truth that Jesus is the light of the world. And that's why we celebrate his birth at what is the darkest time of the year. The time when we realize that we need light the most. That's why the 25th of December was chosen. Because before the gospel message was preached around the world, people were already holding a celebration of light at this time of year. The shortest day had just passed. This year it was on Monday, the 21st of December. People knew that the days were starting to get longer. So they were looking forward to spring. And therefore it was a time for celebration. So you can see why the early Christians, they decided to celebrate the birth of the light of the world at this time of year. And in fact, the first recorded celebration of Christ's birth on the 25th of December goes all the way back to the year 336 AD. So we're talking in the Roman Empire nearly 1,700 years ago. That was the first time that Christ's birth was celebrated, or the first recorded time that Christ's birth was celebrated on the 25th of December. So we can understand why we celebrate Jesus as the light of the world at the darkest time of the year. But what does Jesus being the light of all mankind really mean for us? Well, first of all, in order to appreciate the light, you do have to be aware of the darkness. And that's one of the powerful symbols of a carol by candlelight service, because, you know, it's gradually going to get darker as we go through the evening, and we're going to become more and more aware of the candles and the lights on the tree. We need darkness in order to appreciate the light. You know, darkness really can have an effect upon us. One of the things that Hannah and I noticed when we moved up here to Lancashire from Sussex was just how dark it gets here in the winter. It really does get a lot darker. In the summer, of course, your days are a lot longer, but in the winter, there's quite a difference between here and southern England. And even in the summer, the sun rarely seems to get up quite as high in the sky. And those of us who have lived in parts of the world where there is a lot more light, we do notice the darkness much more. If the darkness that Jesus came to chase away was just the physical darkness, then I think he would be more widely welcomed. But it's not this physical darkness that's being talked about. In John's Gospel, when we read about darkness, we are reading about a spiritual and moral darkness. It is the darkness that people find themselves in when they turn away from God, the only source of light. It is a darkness caused by their behavior, their attitude, and twisted understandings of the world. This is the darkness of alienation from God, the darkness of sin, a darkness that eventually leads people down into the pits of hell. This is far worse than any physical form of darkness. Jesus is the light that chases this darkness away. No matter how dark it gets physically, even if you are in a cave, deep beneath the earth where there is no natural light at all, the moment you switch on a torch, the moment you even strike a match, the darkness just disappears. And while darkness can be terrifying when we find ourselves surrounded by it, and darkness can be used to hide all kinds of unsavory things, darkness is also completely overpowerless when up against the light. You see, darkness is not a force that exists opposite God, which is equal in power to the light, resulting in some kind of tug of war. Instead, darkness is simply the absence of light. Therefore, it cannot stand when the light appears. Jesus, as the light of the world, makes it possible for people to come out of the darkness. The light he offers not only reveals what is hidden, it is also a light that brings health and healing. Back in the Victorian era, before the development of modern medicines, people were often sent to places around the Mediterranean for the winter, where it's a lot lighter and it's a lot warmer. And the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon spent several winters at Menton in France, where the light and the heat provided relief from the poor health he suffered after living in the damp and pollution of Victorian London. Just like the light around the Mediterranean, the Lord Jesus Christ is a light that brings healing and forgiveness. This forgiveness he offers means that there is no more need to try and hide in the shadows. And once forgiven by God, we find that Christ also brings healing. Once we trust in him, our troubled conscience can be stilled. We can forgive both ourselves and others. He can help us to get over the shadow of the pain of the past. When we step into the light of Christ, we can be whole again. Yet despite all the positive benefits that the light of the world brings, the darkness still tries to overcome the light, to hold on to its power. We see this in the life of Christ. Shortly after being born, the family had to flee to Egypt in order to keep the baby safe. Throughout his public ministry, Jesus was constantly having to watch his step as the religious leaders of the time tried to catch him out over and over again. At the end, he was betrayed by a disciple and then executed simply because the powers that be would not believe him when he told them the truth about his identity. Yet even on the cross, the light shone in the darkness. One of the thieves being crucified with him saw the light and was saved. Even during the dark hours on the cross, when the sun stopped shining, Jesus continued to be the light of the world. As he endured God's righteous anger at our sin, as he suffered in our place so that we could be forgiven, the light continued to shine brightly. And then he finally died. And maybe at that point, people might have thought that darkness had won. They thought that maybe the light had been extinguished. But that was not the case at all. Because Jesus had to pay the full penalty for sin, so he had to die. 3 days later, the light of life burst from the tomb on Easter morning for the first day of resurrection life. Death and darkness were defeated. God the Father told the world that the price paid for sin by the Son was accepted, that the door was now open for people to get right with him. After our Lord ascended into heaven, the apostles were sent out with the gospel message. They were told to go out there and tell people to repent and believe so that they too could share in this forgiveness. Most of them were killed because they shared the truth about Jesus. But in just 300 years, the testimony that was started by this small band of uneducated fishermen became the official religion of the Roman Empire. From then, the gospel message has spread all around the world. All the time, darkness has tried to snuff it out, to turn off the light, but it has never succeeded. Even when things got particularly bad and the truth seemed to be lost, a glowing ember would catch light and there would be a reformation and a restoration of the truth. For us today, if you are a Christian, don't be surprised that at times you may be treated unfairly because you are a follower of the light of the world. The darkness will always try to snuff out the light, but it will always fail. Christians are called to be lights in the darkness, so keep your witness burning bright as you show through the way that you live and through the things that you say that you are different, that you are walking in the light. Always point to Jesus and seek to introduce others to him. And if you are a person who is still living in darkness, then please pay close attention. As the light of mankind, Jesus was sent so that people could have a fresh start. All they need to do is admit that they have made mistakes and trust that Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid the price for sin. The sin that we have all committed, the things that we've done wrong. And every sin means that we add to the debt that we have to God, the debt for sin that we try to ignore by hiding it in the darkness. In many ways, people try and hide from God by shrouding themselves in darkness, in the same way that families used to hide under the table when the debt collector or the rent man came and knocked at the door. Jesus has paid the price for all who will believe in him, so there is no need to hide anymore. You can trust in him and the debt will be cleared. He brings forgiveness, he brings help, he brings healing and a fresh start to all who turn to him as the light of the world. Amen.